Thanks for listening to Orion's From the Battlefield to the Boardroom podcast. We've had several episodes in the past about interview preparation for job seekers, and now we're bringing you another one. Today, I'm sitting down with John Teague and Carrie Miller, both technical recruiters at Orion. Carrie and John will talk through some of the most frequently asked technical interview questions and how to best prepare for this type of interview. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for a future podcast, please send me an email at podcast@orioninternational.com. Hey guys, thanks for agreeing to be our subject matter experts this week.
Happy to help.
Good. So tell me a little bit about yourself. We've got John Teague and Carrie Miller both on the phone. So they'll both talk a little bit about military experience and career at Orion. So guys, go ahead.
Okay, I'll go first. Megan, my name's John Teague. My military background is a retired Navy a senior chief electronics technician on a submarine. I did 21 years and retired in 2005, and I've been with Orion since 2006 as a technical recruiter and also assisting veterans finding, you know, positions out in the civilian world.
Great. Okay. Carrie, what about you?
Yeah, my name is Carrie. I'm also a Navy veteran. I have about 10 years as a CB, and then I've been hanging out in the reserves trying to finish up my time. I've got about 16 years altogether, so I've got 4 years left to be a drilling reservist. Got out, went to college using the great GI Bill, and then Orion, you know, I found Orion, had never heard of it, and have been at Orion for the last 5 years helping veterans transition into the civilian world.
Awesome. So thanks for the intro. So the reason I asked both of you to be on the show today is because I'm in marketing. So I have zero experience with anything technical, much less technical interviews. So I know that this is something that both of you have a lot of experience in, especially when it comes to preparing job seekers for this type of interview. And really, technical interviews allow hiring managers to evaluate how candidates approach real-world problems, how you problem solve, the depth of candidates' knowledge, and just kind of evaluate that and you know, match it with the skills that they're being hired for. So my first question for you is, what are some of the biggest pitfalls and challenges for this type of interview?
I would say, I'll take that one. I would say basically military not being able to explain how their technical background relates to the civilian jobs.
Okay. Yeah, I think we hear that one a lot. What about you, John?
I would say that is one of the biggest things as well. One of the other things that I would say that is a pitfall is that is candidates, when they come into an interview, they have not done their research on the company or their position, and they don't know how their skill sets and knowledge can translate to a different industry. So they need to do their research on the companies, the position that they're interviewing for, and know how that they can relate their skill sets to that position.
Okay, great. So there are several interview questions that as recruiters, you'd always recommend that a candidate be prepared to answer during an interview. So I want to talk through all these questions and then have you give your input and advice on each of the questions. So the first question would be, how would you troubleshoot a problem without the benefit of a technical manual?
Okay, I'll take that one. How would you troubleshoot a problem without the benefit of a technical manual? Obviously, troubleshooting is a form of problem solving, right? It often applies to repairing failed products or processes on a machine or a system. It's a logical, systematic search for the source of a problem in order to solve it. And to make the product operational again, basically the machine operational again. Troubleshooting is needed also to identify the symptoms of what's causing the problem. Determining the most likely cause is a process of elimination, basically. You want to start from the simplest and then go to the most complex. So eliminating potential causes of a problem, finally you'll get to the troubleshooting requirements and confirm and find a solution that restores the equipment back to its working state.
Okay, perfect. The next one will be, describe Ohm's law for me in the simplest terms.
Okay, Ohm's law. Ohm's law is stated as the direct current flowing in a conductor is directly proportional to the potential difference between its end or the power. It's usually formulated as V equals IR. V is potential difference or the voltage, I equals the current, and R is the resistance of the conductor in the circuit.
Okay, now what's the difference between a series and a parallel circuit?
Okay, the difference between a series and parallel circuit, we'll start with series. Series circuits are sometimes called current coupled or daisy chained coupled circuits. The current in a series circuit goes through every component in the circuit. Therefore, all the components in a series connection carry the same current. In a parallel circuit, if two or more components are connected in parallel, they have the same potential difference or same potential voltage across both ends. The potential difference across these components are the same in magnitude, and they also have identical polarities. The same voltage is applicable to all circuit components connected in parallel. The total current, I, which is I equals current, is the sum of the currents through the individual components in accordance with Kirchhoff's current's law.
Okay, great. My next question is, explain the difference between AC and DC power.
Okay, the difference between AC, DC power. And DC power, the electrical charge or the current only flows in one direction. Electrical charge and AC power, alternating current, on the other hand, changes direction periodically. The voltage in AC circuit also periodically reverses because the current changes the direction at times. That's the difference.
Okay, my next question is, what is a PLC?
What is a PLC? A programmable logic controller is what a PLC stands for. They're a specialized computer used to control machines and processes. They share common terms with, you know, personal computers like CPUs or central processing units, memory, software, and communications. Unlike a real, you know, laptop computer or a personal computer, PLC is designed to survive in very rugged industrial environments, and they're very, very flexible in how they interface with inputs and outputs to the real world, so they can be programmed to do what you want them to do. The components that make up a PLC are divided into three areas. The first area is the power supply and the rack. The second is the central processing unit or the CPU. The third area is the input-output section. PLCs, they come in many shapes and sizes. They can be so small that they can fit into your shirt pocket. While more involved control systems, large systems require large PLC racks. Smaller PLCs, they're also known as bricks, are typically designed with fixed input-output points. A PLC is nothing more than relay ladder logic and NOR gates. Yeah, and, you know, anybody coming out of the military that has ladder logic experience can pick up the knowledge of a PLC within a week.
Okay, and another question that we have candidates prepare to answer is, what is the purpose of a needle valve in a hydraulic line?
Okay, the purpose of a needle valve in a hydraulic line or system, you know, needle valves are widely used to accurately regulate the flow of liquid through the system or through the line. Basically, a needle valve is threading a stem into a pipe or into the hydraulic system and controlling the valve. You can be precise when you do this. Needle valves are used to control the flow into delicate gauges, which might, you know, be damaged if you have a sudden surge in fluid under pressure. They're also used in situations where the flow must be gradually brought to a halt and at other points where precise adjustments of flow are necessary, or where small flow rate is desired. They can be used as both on and off valves for throttling service. The only other valves are valves that open or shut. A needle valve is the only valve in a hydraulic system that controls the flow.
Okay, cool. So, John, this is the last question in this lightning round of questions for you. So, what is the first thing that you should check if you're troubleshooting a pneumatic system?
First and foremost, the first thing you should check in troubleshooting a pneumatic system is the system isolated, especially if it's a high-pressure air system. High-pressure air leaks, things of that nature, are very dangerous. So it's very important to make sure that all valves, the whole system is isolated and the pressure has been relieved on the system. If you do not do that, you're putting yourself and your coworkers in serious danger.
Okay, perfect. So I know, you know, John, we've talked, Carrie, we talked before sitting down to do this podcast, and I know for a lot of these interviews with technical interviews, they're really going to be different and unique based on the position for which you're interviewing. So I think, John, those were all great answers and a good start in terms of the questions that we like to have candidates prepare for. However, you're always going to have one-on-one support from the recruiting team, whichever recruiter is preparing you for the interview. And then also Orion does provide a variety of transition materials and different technical preparation that candidates have access to. So those are all good answers, and thank you very much for all that information. But just wanted to also say that because of the fact that we have talked about those interviews being unique to the position. So
yes,
any other,
great.
Okay, great. Yeah, so any other job or any other advice for job seekers that are preparing for a technical interview?
Yeah, I would say the most, I mean, what John, you know, just saying what John said in the very beginning, do your research on the company. You, I mean, and that's, you know, then you'll know what kind of technology they're going to ask you about. The best thing is being able to, you know, John, the way John explained all of his answers, he explained it so someone non-technical could understand it. And that's basically, you know, what you need. You need to know the words, the names of the equipment, and know your resume. Know exactly what's on your resume, because they could also just go by what is on your resume and everything about that. So a lot of times that's the main thing, is know your resume. And really, actually, overall, just be excited about the company and about the technology that they are using. And the enthusiasm towards the company and towards their technology can go a long way.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice, Carrie. I think overall, I think an overarching theme of our candidate preparation, regardless of what type of role it is to talk in a way that is going to relay your military experience so that the hiring manager, even if they don't have military experience, they can see how, whether it's the previous knowledge that you have, skills, your hands-on experience, how that translates into the position for which they're interviewing. So I think that's definitely good. And enthusiasm, of course, is key too. John, anything from you on any additional advice?
Some advice I would also give is, you know, we work with different types of skill sets. So we work with electrical, electronics, and mechanical. You know, a lot of electronics and electrical, you know, candidates that come to our conference or actually interview with hiring managers, they still have some mechanical aptitude. You need to be able to convey that to the interviewer on how your systems make other systems work. And a good example would be, you know, if you're an avionics technician working on an FA-18, your, you know, electronic systems make a lot of mechanical systems operate. So if you can convey that and relay that to the interviewer, that will give you a more well-rounded skill set in their mind and make you more of a multi-craft type candidate and let them know that you can pick up the mechanical side a lot quicker.
Awesome. So I think that wraps everything up for today. Like I mentioned just a couple minutes ago, we do have tons of resources available online for anyone that's interested in getting some additional preparation and assistance with interview prep. So if you need anything like that, feel free to check us out online. And of course, as always, send me an email to podcast@orioninternational.com if you have any other questions. So Carrie, John, thank you very much for the time today.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
Thanks.